Roni's Own Radio.
What a day.
Yeah, it's been kind of an interesting day.
Yeah.
That whole thing we did before,
yeah.
I don't like it. And before anybody kind of thinks we're kind of strange, it was that recording we did earlier, just a short bit ago.
Yeah.
We spent quite a bit of time on it with this thing called Cast Blaster.
Right.
I'm here to personally say, I don't like it. I don't think it's a very good
hard
tool.
To, yeah, it's hard to tell when you're, well, it was our first time through, and
yeah.
We recorded a bunch of stuff, and it didn't take, so.
And it's unfortunate, because,
anyway.
You know, the moment passed, and that stuff was good.
I know.
But maybe we can capture some of it here.
But maybe.
We'll see. Woohoo!
Okay.
If
so,
all could just be.
I know. All right. So welcome to Roni's Own Radio. I am here with my lovely, and I am Jeff Roni. It's just so people, you know, you don't introduce yourself. I am Jeff Roni, Virgo 42. This is my lovely wife, Colleen.
Yes.
All right. Excellent.
I'm a Libra 37.
Sweet.
Like that means
yeah,
anything
yeah,
that
yeah.
funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I got a cool looping thing that I'm going to play in the background.
Okay. Okay, let's leave it to the music.
It's not.
Hey. No, let's just go
okay,
on.
Okay, okay, okay. Tatooine TV is back. That's good.
Yeah, that is good. That's good news.
All right. Yeah. I was on William Lundin's show the other weekend, and that was pretty cool. He's on an internet radio show that actually is a radio studio that beams the show out, and they also record stuff for established radio stations.
Dude, you're like having a 60s and 70s trip all of a sudden.
Why is that?
Well, first you made reference to the, you know, what's your sign kind of a thing,
mm-hmm.
the total 70s pickup line in a
right.
70s bar.
Right.
And then you just made reference to something that was very beaming.
Yeah.
Like Star Trek.
Okay. Well,
I don't know. Just
okay.
Go
are
ahead.
You, are you all right now?
I'm fine. I'm totally
sweet.
Fine.
Awesome.
Okay.
All right. So anyway, we have a great show this time.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it's better than the rest of them. But, you know, they're all pretty good, so I'm pretty biased.
Well, we always want to improve.
Right. We're going to be talking to Leslie and Tiffany.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've said this 20 times today. I probably have in all the different versions of the things we recorded. Anyway, we're talking to them about Women's Lib in 2006.
Okay.
Okay. Now, this was recorded in 2005.
Well, yeah, that's fine.
And this was recorded in San Diego.
Oh, very cool.
And it was, I think, in December. Yeah, December in San Diego, 2005.
Was down at the Hotel Del?
Gas Lamp. No.
Oh, when Jared down there. Okay.
Yeah, I think it was a Marriott Gas Lamp Quarter.
Oh, nice.
And a really nice hotel. They shot an episode of Maze. What's that show? Something Maze? Amanda Maze? What's her name?
I don't know.
Anyway, they shot part of a TV show, like half a block.
Veronica Mars?
Veronica Mars, that's it.
Amanda Maze.
Well, anyway, they shot a scene from that half a block down from our hotel.
Oh, very nice. And you guys were down there because you were down there for work.
For work, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
let's clarify that, too, because, you know, somebody might be thinking, what's going on?
Okay. Anyway.
Hey, I'm just keeping everything on the up and up.
I understand. Okay, so anyway, we recorded this there, and it's kind of funny because I used my mini disc recorder, and it's very precise, and if you listen, you'll hear the guys working in the background, like down the hall, and tinkling at glasses and stuff, so anyway, it's something a little extra for you, you know, to hear.
Ambient noise.
Yes, yes.
Cool.
So, we're going to talk about Women's Lib. We're going to talk about do people need college educations for a career? We kind of touched on that question,
mm-hmm.
and I know you have feelings about it. Would you like to share?
Sure. I'll keep it brief. I myself do not have a college degree, although I did attend college for a couple of years. There are times when I regret not having finished it and gotten a degree, but I don't know that it would have necessarily helped me any more in my career than, you know, than the route I did take. Do I think women should get a college degree? I think it's a great opportunity. If they have the opportunity and the means to do it, by all means, go for it. I think more for the experience than anything else, because the degree in and of itself does not always guarantee you anything. I actually have a coworker who is attempting to get her degree, and she's kind of of the opinion that it's going to help her, give her an edge over somebody who doesn't have a degree, which in some cases, depending who she's going up against, it might. Somebody with 20 years of experience versus, you know, a brand new college degree, the experience probably is going to win out, even though the other person has a degree. But if you're talking about somebody who has 10 years of experience, and somebody who's taken 10 years of experience but now has their college degree, the college degree is probably going to win. So it depends. I also have a number of friends who are educated, well-educated women, have their degrees. In fact, one of them has her master's, and every last one of them is a stay-home mom. They're not using their degree for their career. So it's a give and take. It's a, you know, I can get a little more passionate about it, but I just want to be as neutral as possible because, again, while I think the experience of college life is good and I wish that I'd had it, I don't think that it's... I think you can get by without the degree. It is a little more difficult, but it's not impossible.
Right.
I myself am in a position for being, you know, moving up the management ladder, and I don't have a degree. And many of my, you know, management folks at my company, and it's a very large company, they don't have degrees either, men and women both. So, but if you can and you have the means, I highly encourage it.
I do have a college degree, and I haven't used it thus far. I mean, now with the audio stuff and some of the movie stuff I've done, I'm actually using my college degree. But a lot of what I've learned is just gifts that I have inside that I already acquired, you know, already had, but also learning on the internet. So,
well, and here's the other thing, too. I mean, I would have graduated from college roughly 15 years ago, and the way I look at it is that if I had a college degree, it would probably be in something that's completely not even related to what I'm doing right now. So why in the world would that make any difference for me? Now, if I was going to be a doctor or a lawyer, clearly that's a time where I would have no choice but to get a degree in order to move forward in that profession. But well, for doing just basic jobs...
This is what I think, for what it's worth. I think a person who is at the age of college normally that they would be at, that I think college is a good thing because it will teach them how to live on their own and that type of thing. Give them skills, hopefully. I mean, the partying and other things that goes on. I mean, obviously, you know, you don't have to go to college to get involved in that kind of a thing.
No.
But the bottom line is if you use college wisely, use it to propel yourself, to push yourself, to do well, then I think it can be a good thing. So, anyway. So there's a lot of different subjects we'll be talking about in this interview with Leslie and Tiffany. But first, our next section.
Roadies Over Radio.
Spotlight. And yes, we're back again with Spotlight.
Yay.
Awesome. Okay. Now, we're going to be talking about AmusingFacts.com.
That's AmusingFacts.com. That would be not amazing... That's amusing. And it's, you know, trivia basically is what it amounts to. It's kind of a cool website.
It is a bunch of trivial facts about different subjects.
Right.
Now, we cannot vouch for the correctness of it. I would hope that this site has checked it out, but it's not a Wikipedia type of thing where people drop by and fill in their little feelings about things. So anyway, it's very interesting. They break down things in a whole lot of different sections.
Right.
Animals, religion.
History,
literature,
people,
that kind of thing.
Sports.
So let's look up one. Which
let's
one?
Go to animals and creatures, because I like animals and creatures.
And then once you click there,
there's
it
all kinds
breaks
of...
down into all different animals, from armadillos to whales.
Wow. There's even, like, insects and... Mm-hmm. Fish and chickens.
So pick one. Which one?
Let's look at dogs, because, you know, dogs are my favorite.
Right. So, dogs, okay? All dogs are the descendants of the wolf. These wolves lived in Eastern Asia about 15,000 years ago.
Wow.
Okay? Okay, that's...
That's kind of interesting.
Okay. An average city dog lives approximately 3 years longer than an average county dog.
Country dog.
Country dog, sorry. Anyway...
And so here's an interesting fact. Mm-hmm. Border Collies are the most intelligent breed of dog.
See?
I've always wanted a Border Collie.
Because they're in Babe.
They are the Babe.
Herding those pigs.
Herding sheep.
Or herding sheep, too.
Sheep. They herd sheep.
That's right. They herd the sheep.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think this is actually kind of true and kind of funny. About 30% of Americans admit to talking to their dog mm-hmm. or leaving messages on their answer machines for their dogs while they're away.
Okay. But let's not give away.
Okay.
But anyway, there's a lot of great,
well, yeah, there's a lot,
interesting
yeah.
facts here at amusingfacts.com. So you can learn all these different things. And, you mm-hmm. know, for the guys and girls out there, you can have something interesting to talk to on a date. You know, you can just kind of throw one out there. Did you know that the Border Collie is the most intelligent dog, you know?
That's interesting.
Wow, that's interesting.
That could be,
yeah,
really,
hey.
That could be really good.
Ooh, you know. And so, anyway, so amusingfacts.com, that is our spotlight for this show. And now, without any further ado, here is Leslie and Tiffany discussing women's lib.
We'll start with Leslie. Where were you born and when?
I was born in Redwood City, California.
Okay.
Which is on the San Francisco Peninsula. And in... You want here.
Well,
in a long time ago. No, in the 70s.
Okay, cool.
And I was born in Northern California as well, in Oakland, California,
okay.
And I was born in the late 70s.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I was
okay.
Born in the late 70s.
So, okay. Now, we were talking about this. Gen Yers, which are 29 and younger,
right.
And Gen Xers. So, okay, Leslie, that would make you?
Gen X.
Okay, Gen X?
Gen Y.
And you would be a Gen Y. Okay, excellent. Now, it was interesting because we're talking about how people who are older face a depression, which really changed life for a lot of people.
Absolutely.
And shook them up, caused them not to trust in money. They didn't have bank accounts. They kept money under the carpet, and those kind of things. For Gen Xers and Gen Yers, it was 9/11. So that was the new depression for the younger generation. And I just want to talk about being women today, these days. What, in the 70s, we had the Women's Liberation Movement,
mm-hmm.
okay, which said women deserve rights, women deserve equal pay, those kind of things. Have you noticed a change now because of that?
I think that the women's lib back in the 70s, it's still evolving. I
okay.
don't think it's come full circle.
Okay.
I think what they started 30 years ago really does affect women in the workplace today in how we're viewed, and a lot more equality. Obviously, I wasn't in the workplace in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel the effects of that. But I can say that it is still somewhat lopsided,
okay.
but I don't. I think it's come a long way since then.
Okay. Let's talk about why in just a little bit. But, Leslie, do you feel like you have more choices today as a woman?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Tiffany. I think it's always
okay.
changing. You know, I think there's still room for work
okay.
on it. But I think what I seem to notice just in some of the jobs I've been in is just they certain fields tend to sway more towards a woman's position,
mm-hmm.
certain other fields
mm-hmm.
sway more towards the men, just in my experience in, you know, escrow and title,
okay.
it seems to be more of a women-oriented business,
mm-hmm.
and it seems like more corporate positions are men. I know, not all across the board,
sure.
but just
mm-hmm.
it seems kind of that type. You see more of the dot-com companies as men and stuff. So.
Now, we just kind of... We're talking about escrow and title, which would you say that's a role title of the job in that a woman is better at it, and so that's why they
yeah.
thrive, or what
I wouldn't say that they're better at it. Okay. I think that obviously depending on the person and their, you know, ability to learn and whatnot, I've met many male escrow officers in doing this job that have been great and just as good as women. I think that it was, it just started as a trend and it kind of continued that way. Women started maybe back in the day, it was more dominated by just in terms of who was hired and who continued and climbed up the ladder, because, I mean, these days we see a lot of escrow officers that have been in the business for 20, 30 plus years at this point. And so it's evolved into being so severely dominated by women in that industry alone, on the escrow side. But then on the title side, I think it's kind of opposite. It's maybe more, a little bit more men, or more of a 50-50 split than on the escrow side, for sure.
I've noticed, it's my opinion, that women have more knowledge and expertise as far as facts and figures. They can multitask better than a man, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. I can see what you're saying there.
So I think it's great to see a woman CPA, a woman title officer. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think they're perfect for that, and escrow as well. Mm-hmm. So I think it's great that a man can now be a part of that. But also, I think they have great modelers, you know, to see how they're doing with their job.
It's also, in this industry, it's all about who you know.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more than maybe some other industries. So if, you know, your mother was an escrow officer, then you maybe had more of a tendency to be brought into the business. It's all, you can't just walk into a title company and say, I want a job, or an escrow office and say, I want a job. 9 times out of 10, you have to know somebody within the company, within the organization, recommendations, whatnot, to get the position. So women kind of steer towards having a woman assistant.
Okay.
It's
fair
more
enough.
Typical.
Fair enough. Let's take a different step. Let's go back to when you were in kindergarten, first grade, something like that.
Long time ago.
Right. Leslie, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Oh, gosh. I think at that time, well, I wanted to get married and have kids and be a teacher.
Okay.
That's what I thought it was all about. I don't know why.
Okay.
I thought that was the picture.
Okay.
So.
Tiffany?
I was different. When I was a little girl, even when I was really young, I always wanted to do something with animals more. I always thought of a marine biologist or a veterinarian or whatnot. I kind of leaned towards those type of ideas when I was a little kid.
Okay. I'm going to just kind of ask some somewhat personal questions, only because I kind of want to set some boundaries. Leslie, were your parents, are they still together? Are they still married or are they divorced?
Nope. They've been together, actually next month will be 35 years.
Okay.
And I've been very lucky. I have to say.
Did your mother work, or was she a homemaker?
She's actually
or?
A teacher.
Okay.
She teaches third grade. Okay. My dad works for the airlines, does similar to what I do, traveling and going around to different airports just for certain airlines. So he works for the union. So, they've been together and.
Okay. You kind of see where I'm going, the whole modeling?
And yes.
Okay. Tiffany, same question?
Opposite.
Okay.
My parents are divorced.
Okay.
They divorced when I was in junior high school.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was about 12 or 13 when they split up.
Mm-hmm.
My dad owned his own business.
Okay.
Somewhat in the construction industry, but he wasn't a contractor, general contractor. And my mom, when I was growing up, was more of a housewife, but she did at certain points work. She would, you know, a waitress or whatnot. She did work throughout, off and on, when I was growing up.
Okay. Now, as far as degrees, Leslie, did you go to school at all, college, a little bit?
I did go to college.
Mm-hmm.
I got into a state university and then realized I could do the same thing at a junior college for a lot less money, and I had scholarships, so I was like, great.
Okay.
So I did that. I went for 2 years, but I didn't get a degree because I started taking classes in the jobs that helped me, or started taking classes that helped me in the jobs that I was in at the moment, and I realized I gravitated more towards business, accounting, computers, things like that. So I no longer wanted to be a teacher.
Okay.
I loved business and numbers.
was it you were drawn to that, or was it you were, it was available? I'm just trying to.
No, I was interested in it.
Okay.
It was interesting to me.
Okay.
To figure things out and, you know, things like that. So.
Okay. Tiffany, same question.
Again, a little bit opposite of Leslie.
Okay.
Right after high school, I went to business college,
mm-hmm.
Got a 2-year degree in accounting.
Okay.
Finished school, was already working, and was working in accounting as an accounts payable manager, and decided that I wasn't quite for me. I liked the numbers, but I didn't like the solitude of the job and the industry. When you work in accounting, you tend to work alone a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to go back to school. I continued working in accounting, went back to school, got my bachelor's degree in business management, international business management.
Okay.
And traveled for a bit, went to Europe, came back, needed a job, knew some
okay.
people in escrow, and
there, you go.
There I went.
Okay. So. Big question. And it's a question that I think a lot of people ask. Do you need a degree to really solidify yourself in a career?
I would like to answer that because in our industry, in title and escrow, no.
Okay.
My best friend / roommate is now a corporate recruiter in accounting and finance, and also does like higher up CPAs, very high level accounting positions, whatnot. I would say most companies these days will not even look at you if you do not have a degree
okay.
in other fields. Title and escrow, however, mm-hmm. you don't need a degree.
Okay.
So I think it depends on which direction you want to go. And when you got in. I mean, if you started in business early on and you have great experience, sure, maybe you don't need a degree. But if you're younger, maybe a Gen Y-er, kind of like myself, mm-hmm. a degree is really important these days. They don't even care what it's in. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Yeah, just in talking to some of my friends who are currently, you know, looking for jobs or, you know, just found jobs, whatever, but just in them telling me some of their experiences, there's quite a lot that, from what I understand, there's quite a lot of jobs that aren't requiring degrees now,
mm-hmm.
is what I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true, though, in title and escrow, you know, the degree is not going to help you. The
right.
experience is what gets you around.
Title and escrow is a very narrow type of a career.
Yeah.
Most people don't even really understand
right.
it if you try to explain it.
Right.
So what I want to kind of get back to where we started is that the thought in women's liberation is that men are the problem. Men get all the money, men get all the jobs, they're the problem. And so we need to liberate ourselves and be stronger, be empowered to fight against that. The glass ceiling, I can't get beyond a certain thing. And my mom was a single mom, raising me, keeping a job. It was tough. It was hard for her.
Wow.
But it's really nice to see, like, our boss is a woman.
Yeah.
Very intelligent woman. And I'm a big cheerleader for women in the workplace. I think that they can really add a whole lot to a company. And so we kind of touched on that before, but I kind of want to talk about women are very competitive against each other. Do you notice that, or have you heard of that type of activity in the workplace?
I don't necessarily feel that women are any more competitive than men.
Okay.
I think that women seem to have to display their competitiveness a little bit more than men because they have to compensate still for that lack of equality in
okay.
between men and women. So they may appear to be a little bit more competitive to, let's say, move up the corporate ladder, to get the jobs that they want, to get the salaries that they want and whatnot. But I don't necessarily feel if somebody's competitive in the workforce, I think it's pretty equal. I mean, there's going to be those very driven women, for example, our boss,
mm-hmm.
Or those very driven men that they're going to go out and they're going to, I mean, they've got their ladder set, and they're gonna climb up it, regardless. And then there's also those people, as we've talked about recently, that are a little bit more passive,
right.
that don't have that competitive nature. I'm not nearly as competitive as a lot of people that I know, a lot of women that I know. I'm a little bit more passive when it comes to stuff like that. But, you know, it depends on your personality, really, mm-hmm. I think.
And it depends on the job, too, like what type of mm-hmm. position you're in.
Right.
You know, again, just going from what we've known for so long, the title and escrow, I mean, women are extremely competitive between each other. And what I've seen, the escrow officers,
absolutely.
I mean, they're, you know, even within the office, they're all fighting for that next client who
sure.
walks through the door. And they don't care if they run you down to get it, you know. So it is, you have to, you know, you have to be tough to kind of be in that business, because they think they're going to do whatever they need to do it. But I, you know, it's hard to say as far as being more competitive with men, because again, in our industry, there's not a lot of men that are escrow officers or assistants or things. You know, you're starting to see more now, but. But I think in that business, yes, they are extremely competitive with each other.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, just I think it's kind of, like Tiffany said, just, you know, the same for both. You know, I don't know a whole lot of other professions.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. It's interesting that I think the ground is a lot different than it was in 1975. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You have women running businesses, women CEOs, women in management. You have women's television networks. You have people like Oprah. You have people like Drew Barrymore, Julia Roberts, Angelina Jolie, who really command top dollar and are really great at what they do. The thing that concerns me, just saying it, is that top stars are elevated above, let's say, a woman scientist.
Mm-hmm.
People are far more interested mm-hmm. in Jennifer Aniston
mm-hmm.
and her next move, her next film.
I think that has a lot to do with, though, the people that are surrounding these so-called pop stars or you know, in pop culture today. Jennifer Aniston's not sitting at a table negotiating with the person that's going to pay her salary.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a manager, an agent,
mm-hmm.
all these people that are those hard-nosed, you know, kind of people that are going to get what they, you know what I mean? It's like a team effort.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a woman scientist, she doesn't have an agent or a manager or somebody in her corner fighting for what she is, let's say, worth in a work sense. But it shouldn't, that's part of what's wrong with, I think, or I have somewhat of issues like you're getting at with society today, is that we put actors and actresses and musicians and athletes on pedestals like they're better than everybody else. And it's nice to admire them for what they do, and they are good at what they do. Obviously, they're at the top level of the profession. And it's great to recognize that. But it doesn't mean that the woman scientist that spent 8 years or 10 years going to school and is very well educated and is very well, you know, versed in what their profession is any less valuable than, you know, the greatest actress you could come up with. It's just, it's an entertainment thing is what
mm-hmm.
it is. And society puts them up on this pedestal like they're better than everybody else.
Yeah, the entertainment industry has always floored me, especially sports.
Especially.
I just was listening to the news the other day, and there was some baseball player that got signed for $14 million for a 2-year contract.
Trevor Hoffman, right here.
Yeah, I $14 million?
Right.
I can't even fathom what that is,
mm-hmm.
or how much you can buy, or, you know, how long it would last. It just, I mean, it's just crazy to me. Sports and actors and actresses, I mean, I know it's such a huge industry, but I've never understood. I mean, they make more than the President of the United States. You know, I mean, he's, you know, and that's somebody who has to run a country. You know, it's so much more responsibility for less money. And I think that's kind of what I've found a lot of times, too, is sometimes in the workforce you have so much less responsibility, and yet you get all this money.
Right.
And the people who have the jobs that, you know, help people every day or,
mm-hmm.
you know, solve cases, you know, criminal investigators, whatever. Just these people who are so extremely smart and, you know, they're
talented.
They're talented, but
regardless of whether or not they're in entertainment.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the problem. And it's the I think that also, you know, actors, actresses, musicians, et cetera, the reason that they demand such high salaries is because their professions bring in so much more money than other professions. So that has to be taken into consideration. You have a movie made, it makes $100 million, those actors and actresses want to be paid their fair share of what that that profit is.
And every time
whereas
they sell tickets to the theater, I mean, you know, when it plays in the movie, you know, at the movie theater, I mean, then it goes to DVD and they get that and, you know, everything.
But let's say a criminal investigator, like you were saying, they may be so talented at what they do and they may make, I don't know, let's just say $75,000 a year.
Right.
Well, their profession isn't bringing in the money that a movie would make, right?
Okay.
So that's, I mean, I think that's part of the gap in that area, because entertainment brings in money, lots of it.
I took a look at now.org. I just kind of poked around a little bit this evening, and a lot of interesting things there. Violence against women, one of the big areas there. Abortion, another big area. Anti-war, another big area. But also what I kind of honed in on was love your body. And I clicked on that area, and it was saying that 80% of fourth grade girls have been on some type of diet plan. And it was really pointing out the fact that some companies, when they advertise woman's body. Now, woman's body is a beautiful thing. I can appreciate that. But what they're trying to say is, let's get away from that. Let's either advertise a product, for heaven's sake, or focus on maybe mental skill, something besides what you can do with a knife or a diet or something, you know. Mm-hmm. And how do you see that today? Is it better today? Is women's worth coming from inside, or is it still outside?
I think a lot of it has to do with what the public portrays as perfection.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there are those people out there that either strive for it, are naturally born with it, whatnot. And we all know sex sells, period. It doesn't matter what they're advertising.
Mm-hmm.
You can be advertising, look at those Paris Hilton, Carl's Jr.'s ads. I mean, those are just out of control.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only way to combat this problem that society has is for parents to take it upon themselves to reinforce and to instill into their kids that nobody's perfect, regardless that they look perfect on the outside, and there's no need to strive for that perfection and to try to take some of the pressures away from these kids, because these kids are, you know, they're impressionable, they're in school, they're growing up, and they're learning as they're growing up. And if they're being taught that they need to look perfect, you know, there you go. There you have an 8-year-old on a diet.
Right.
I mean, that's just,
right.
Parents need to take it upon themselves to, one, not take their child to McDonald's every day and fatten them up and then put them on a diet for the first thing, and two, to try to live a healthy lifestyle and to just instill in their kids that you don't have to look perfect to be, you know, a great person or to achieve what you want to achieve and to, you know, move, go in the direction you want to go, and that's a small percentage. I mean, we're looking at advertising and people out there that are striving, the actresses, the models, everybody that's in the public eye, to have this certain persona about them, to have this certain look about them. And that is such a small percentage of what society is. And, you know, it's all about health. It's about being healthy. And how many of those people that you see that look perfect are highly unhealthy? So it's unfortunate, but the only way to fix it is for parents to take it upon themselves as their children are growing up and as their children are young to, one, make sure that they are as healthy as they can be, and two, to instill that you know, those people you see on TV, that's a tenth of a percent of what's really out there in the world, and you don't have to look like that. You don't have to be that thin. You don't have to have that plastic surgery to be pretty or to be good looking or to, you know, I mean, God only knows I'm not skinny. So, you know, it's like,
well, I think with all the things that are available to people today, they don't care.
Right.
You know, I mean, you don't have to take care of yourself. You go get liposuction, you go get a facelift, you know, get implants, whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I know what you were saying about the more fourth grade children, you know, there's a lot of heavier kids, and I think that is huge because when I was growing up, my mom was a stay-at-home mom, and she didn't actually become a teacher or go to school for teaching until I was in high school, and she took us to school. She was there when we got home because we went to school down the street, you know, elementary school. She made all our meals. We always had a balanced meal. McDonald's was like a huge treat, huge. I mean, we used to think my grandmother was rich because she took us to McDonald's for breakfast and for dinner one day. And we thought, that's when hamburgers were like 39 cents. But we didn't understand that. We just thought because McDonald's was something we did not get very often. And I think now, you know, with people having to hold jobs and single parents and, you know, the cost of living is so expensive. You got to have like three jobs just to meet the minimum requirements that people don't have the time to do that for their kids. And I more and more, like just from friends who have kids and people I've talked to, it seems like, you know, they don't make their kids lunches. They give them lunch money. Now, what they do with that, if they eat it all in the vending machines, you can't do anything. I mean, it's kind of funny to say, but my mom made my lunch all the way through high school. I'm not even joking. She made my lunch every day. And I had, like, you know, a sandwich, some chips, an apple, you know, a drink, something. But it was always a balanced diet. And now it's kind of funny to say that, you know, maybe back then we didn't have, again, all the things we have now because my mom eats horribly now. I mean, she just, you know, she does eat all the junk food that's out there. Anything that's new comes out, she tries it, you know. And, you know, so she's battling with weight issues now, and I was. But you're right, though. You know, like, look at all the Victoria's Secret ads. Look at the mannequins in the store.
Right.
They're all these skinny little, you know, perfect little bodies. Nobody has that anymore. But I think it kind of deters people from even wanting that because, you know, I wouldn't want to look at that when I'm struggling with my weight, you know. I can't fit into those cute little clothes and whatever, and, you know, it's hard and it's discouraging. So it makes you just think, oh, well, screw it. I'll have another cookie or a bowl of ice cream, you know. It's not going to matter. Another day is not going to matter. It just keeps going from there.
The image
thing
is never going to change, though.
Yeah.
The image thing, the perfection, the beauty, the thin, it's never going to change.
But you know what's
funny? I would be appalled if the society took a turn to steer away from that. That's why it's not about what the ads say. It's not about what, you know, somebody next door thinks is perfect. That's why, as a parent, if you want your child to grow up in, you know, be raised right, my mom, same thing. She didn't take us out to McDonald's. I mean, it was a big treat. Every once in a while, we would get Taco Bell or we would get Burger King, and that was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I would buy lunch when I was growing up. She didn't always make our lunches, but we always made dinner. You know, we would eat out every once in a while, maybe get pizza or something just because she didn't feel like cooking. But for the most part, we ate at home all the time, and it was more of a treat to go out to eat. And whereas kids these days, parents are so busy, but I still think that as a parent, you need to take that responsibility and you need to do your best to take that into your matters into your own hands and make sure that your child isn't a obese child.
Let's touch on this. We're kind of veering really close to it. Is that a woman, can she have a career or can she have a marriage, children, and a career? And by what I mean by career is maybe crawling up that ladder, going up on the second rung.
Much more difficult, but it's not impossible.
Okay.
Yeah,
I mean, I would like to hope that when I decide to get married or when that happens for me or I end up, I would like to eventually one day maybe have children, that I can keep my career and maybe take a little bit of time off and have the ability to stay home with my kids while they're really little, but go back to work. I don't necessarily have the desire to be a housewife.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the big things in our culture today is that women these days, they want to work. They want a career. They're not brought up thinking that a stay-at-home mom is the way that you have to go. You know, the white picket fence with the kids and the husband and you stay home, you know. It's more of people want a career. They want to be out in the workforce. And that's what part of the whole women's liberation evolution has really instilled into the younger generation, my generation, is to say that you can have a family and a husband mm-hmm. and a career, and yes, it will be difficult, but it is possible if you want it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's just, you know, it's a matter the relationship works out, and, you know, I mean, it's just, it's got to all fit together,
right.
you know, for, in order for that to work. But, yeah, I definitely have no interest in being a stay-at-home mom. I will always have some type of career, just something, because even just now with downtime that we have in our job, I mean, you know, people think that's great who, especially, you know, coming from escrow, you would think, oh my gosh, it's so busy, it's so crazy, just like pull your hair out all day. To be home and be able to just work and do what you need to do is great. Well, that's nice, but you have no interaction, you have no communication with people. I mean, sometimes you sit and wait for a project and you've got nothing, and but you have to sit there and you have to wait, because I mean, it's not like you can go shopping and go hang out with your friends, you know. So
it's a lack of accomplishment. That's my biggest thing about it, is I get lazy with what we're doing right now, and I feel no sense of accomplishment, and that's somewhat of an empty feeling to me. And you know, I can be lazy and in my PJs and in front of my computer all day, and for a period of time it's great.
Yeah.
But you know, at the end of the day, I also like to think that I accomplished something.
Right.
And not, but see, that's taken away from the whole stay-at-home mom thing, because you really are, it really is a job.
Oh,
to be
gosh,
a mom
yeah.
really is a job.
True.
So it's a little bit different of a scenario than what we just talked about.
It's a
right
very
now.
Hard job.
It's a very difficult job. It's you know, it's a stressful, time-consuming, you know, full-time thing. It's not easy, but at the same time, you know, what we're doing right now is, I think it's a little slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
Let's kind of slope in for a landing now. Now I'm going to read off some names of actresses,
okay.
women actresses, what they command and get for a film. Julia Roberts, $20 million. Nicole Kidman, $16 to $17 million a picture. Reese Witherspoon, $15 million. Drew Barrymore, $15 million. Renee Zellweger, $10 to $15 million. Angelina Jolie, $10 to $15 million. Cameron Diaz, $10 to $15 million. Jodie Foster, $10 to $12 million. Charlize Theron, $10 million. Jennifer Aniston, $9 million, on down the line. These powerful women in Hollywood. What I don't see, and I may misspeak here, but I don't see them empowering other women. I don't see that. I don't see that. I see them being movie stars. That's okay. It's like that's their job. But we've kind of discussed really a huge bunch of, we touched on so many different issues tonight.
Oh, yeah.
And self-esteem issues and empowerment issues and drive issues and what do you want to do with your life. And I think there should be more to somebody than Angelina Jolie, whether she's going to marry Brad Pitt or not, whether they're going to adopt more children or not. There should be more than that. I know she does give to other countries. I know she goes to Washington. That's fantastic. But I want to talk about one other woman. Is Oprah Winfrey. I think Oprah Winfrey probably, no, she is the greatest woman that really stands for something. There was a point in time her show was pretty silly, and she followed the trend. But she has really become an avenue for women, I feel, to get out of where they're at and really take a step up and move on. And I think it's a great thing. You know, we have our book club, which is great. I think getting women to read beyond just romance novels. Romance
mm-hmm.
novels are great and all that. But I think to read something that they can really be empowered by. And say there's more to this than maybe being abused by my husband or whatever. There's more to this life. I can get out of this. You know, she, you know, has really lifted Dr. Phil into the public eye. Whatever you think of Dr. Phil, I think it's important. I think sometimes you need somebody, whoever you feel, but somebody to tell you the truth, even though it's hard. You know, she helped out Katrina, but I think the biggest thing is she's really given empowerment to women. You can be who you are, and it doesn't matter what you look like, how much you weigh, you can take steps to be, you know.
She is one of the hugest role models that the younger generation should embrace and aspire to be like, versus like what you're saying, movie stars, you know, yeah, they're good at what they do. Mm-hmm. Some of them, Angelina Jolie comes to mind first because she does do a lot of humanitarian
That's right.
work.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to appreciate that she takes what she has and does give back. Some of these other women, I've not heard a whole lot of humanitarian work or anything more than, you know, I'm good and I'm good looking and I'm going to be in the front of the, you know, pack. Whereas Oprah, on the other hand, she takes issues and things that people, not even just women, but people in general deal with on a regular basis and brings it to the forefront. She also does, you know, interviews with really high-powered people,
right.
high-powered politicians, high-powered, you know, people that are way up there in their fields, actors and actresses.
Right.
She does bring that entertainment sense into it as well, but she gives back in ways that no other celebrity, I would say, because she is a celebrity, but she gives back more than any other celebrity I've ever known, whether it be, you know, I mean, I can bring, I'm just going to throw this example out there. There's people out there like Bill Gates comes to mind first and foremost, who is one of the most wealthy men in the entire world. He's up there with the most of the most. And do you ever hear of Bill Gates doing good things for the environment?
Yeah.
Does he do a lot?
He and his wife are involved in a lot of things. They plan to give about $28 billion to
charity. That's great to hear.
Because
I've never, I mean, I've followed the news.
You don't hear about him.
You just don't hear about it.
It's his wife, and I've never even known who she was. If I saw a picture of her, if I ran into her on the street, I wouldn't know who she is. But that has been in, like, all those, you know, the tabloid things on TV, E! Channel, VH1, whatever. And they've just, and that's the only reason I know this, because I've watched those, and she's on there a lot. She's in all the foreign countries, you know, I don't know if she's...
They gave a number of million dollars to Africa, to building schools, I think, and a water treatment plant, hospital, something like that. So, yeah.
See, that's good to know.
Yeah.
I don't think that we hear about that enough, because stuff like that is what the kids these days should be hearing about. They should be hearing about what these people that have the means to do this, what they're doing, why they're doing it, and how they're doing it, versus reading these fashion magazines and reading these, you know, tabloid magazines, which I'm guilty of. I read too. Don't get me wrong, you know. But I take it more as for entertainment value. I'm not admiring these people and saying, oh, my God, I want to be just like Angelina Jolie. So I think of it as in a different sense. But these kids that are impressionable should be hearing more about what Oprah does, what Bill Gates and so on does.
Bono
does a lot of humanitarian. No, that's a great example. He does a lot of humanitarian work. And stuff like that, you know, if I had the ability, if I had the means, if I was a millionaire, if I had billions of dollars just sitting around, I don't need a big mansion. I'd rather spend my days off trying to make the world a better place than spending it on myself. Unfortunately, those of us normal folk don't have that.
Well, okay. That's interesting that you should say that. So let me get to my last question, and we'll talk about that. What would you, let's dream. Let's not be held back. What do you want to change, affect, or stop in your lifetime? What are the things that really drive you inside that you would love to do?
The first thing that comes to mind would be environmental protection.
Okay.
Because I don't think people realize how terrible we're just devouring the environment.
Okay.
Obviously, that's the first thing that came to mind. Second thing would be hunger. I mean, there's so many people in this world that we take for granted that we have food on the table every day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we know that we eat well on a regular basis. And there are millions and millions of people around this world that would absolutely just die for the meals that we have on a daily basis.
You bet.
And that would be my second thing. I mean, obviously, you can't fix the world. But those are the two things. I mean, obviously, the third thing I would say would be AIDS and whatnot.
Okay.
Research. But.
So we've kind of covered, you know, hunger, AIDS, you know, the environment. What other things do you
think? I'm like, I don't have any of those.
Okay.
But as far as changing something, I'd love to change politics.
Okay.
But I am too outspoken,
okay,
and I have no problem speaking my opinion, and I probably would not be a good politician because I show on my face my mood,
mm-hmm,
or how I'm feeling about something. You would hear it in my voice, and the politicians really have to concentrate on not letting it show.
You're an actor.
They have to really keep it all in, and Boy, when I'm passionate about something, I'm just not that way. So I'm not sure that's a field I would ever get into, but there are just so many things I don't like, whether it's at, you know, the city level, you know, or the county level or the state level, you know, the governor or things like that. I just, you know, there's the president. There's
right.
A lot of things that I just, you know, I look at it as my vote is how I make a difference. You know,
okay,
if it came down to one vote, then that was mine, then that's it. So I don't know if I'd get into that. But as far as affecting, I always want to have a job where I feel I make a difference in people's lives. And that's one thing I liked about being in real estate and also being in escrow is, I mean, I helped people buy houses.
Right.
You know, you explain something that is so foreign to them, they don't have a clue. And just your manner of explanation or how much detail you go into answering their questions is huge. You know,
it's one of the top five highest tension levels in a person's lives.
And it is scary. I mean, when I bought my first place, I was a receptionist in an escrow office. Now, I had just come out of real estate, but I knew nothing about what goes on behind the scenes. I knew nothing about anything. I signed my papers and closed escrow and then realize later, wow, okay, this is what happened, you know. So I think that's huge that, you know, you can sit and take the time with to explain something to somebody that, you know, you're making a difference to them. They, you know, they thank you for it.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as something stop, I, you know, it brings back a lot of bad memories, but like you were saying about abuse.
Sure.
When, you know.
Absolutely.
Like domestic violence, things like that. I know it happens to men too, but the majority of it is
absolutely
women. And unfortunately, that was something I was involved in and never took the right steps. Otherwise, I probably would have had a little more protection, things like that. And that I would love to see that somehow get, you know, smaller in the world.
Okay.
But I don't know. Like I said, going back, rehashing some of my experiences in order to do that would, I don't know, maybe not be so good for me at this point.
I think kind of what we have kind of touched on, that you guys, even just in your jobs and your life, you really have a circle of effect that you really don't even really think about, I don't think. I mean, there are people that you work with, hang out with, talk to, that could really benefit, maybe, by maybe sharing just a little bit, or, you know, just kind of talking to them a little bit. Maybe listening for those key words. Or maybe instead of saying, well, that's a personal matter, say, no, I need to help them. You know, I need to at least share my heart. Because here's the thing. I love to see a woman Bill Gates. Okay?
I would love that, too.
Okay? I would love to see a woman create a third type of a computer. I think the sky's the limit. I think... that there is no limit to what a woman can do.
Absolutely not. It's a misconception because I think that there's no difference in intelligence levels between you or I.
Sure.
And everybody's gifted in one way or another. And obviously there are people that are very intelligent. I mean, there's a huge scale of ability to learn and retain and, you know, achieve what you set out to do. And we all fall somewhere on that scale, and it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. Because one of the, you know, I mean, some of the smartest people you know may probably be women. Not
sure
to say that they may do the most with that, but it doesn't change the fact that the sky is the limit and that they can do it if they try.
Okay, my final thoughts. I think we have a certain number of breaths until we're done. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Let's use them to get these things done. Let's cure AIDS. Let's stop abuse. Let's do what we need to do. But we have our breaths to do that. And so let's start here. Let's feel empowered. Let's not feel like I can't. Well, he's going to do it. Oh, it always happens. No. Women can do it. Let's do it. Let's work together to do it. I'll support any woman. I'm pro-woman, you know. And I think I have to thank my mom for that. But it's been great talking to you guys. Really appreciate it. And thank you so much for sharing. And we'll talk again sometime.
Thanks, Lily. I'd love to. Thank you, Jeff.
All right.
Well, do you feel empowered?
I do feel empowered.
Women can do anything they want to do.
Pretty much,
they put their mind to it.
Pretty much, yeah.
Because I think that our world is better because women achieve things and discover things
mm-hmm.
and are involved
yes.
in what's happening.
There are some very intelligent and wonderful women out there.
That's true.
Both in the past, in the present, and hopefully in the future.
That's true. Okay. So it was a great interview, and
mm-hmm.
they are both fine, fine women.
Thank you, Leslie and Tiffany.
Okay. Now, please, if you're listening to this, and I hope you are, and I hope this just isn't a downloaded file that you just downloaded through iTunes and don't listen to, because this is a sad file if you don't listen to it. May have
I don't think the file really
problems.
Has any feeling.
It does. It certainly does.
Hmm.
My files want to be listened to.
Well.
And acted upon. Our website is jrdonline.com. So please, drop by the website. Leave us a little message there. However you like to do that. But send all your friends and your enemies and even your family. You know, JRD Online would be a great site to send your mom that doesn't know how to use a computer. It would be a great site to start her with. Don't send her to Yahoo or Google. Send her to JRDOnline.com because she'll learn about all kind of things. Star Wars versus Star Trek, the dog, the bounty hunter guy. I mean, you know, all kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be great.
Yeah.
Okay. Also on the website, we have games. We have games and little things and links and everything. My wife's acting really silly right now.
I usually do.
Okay. And please subscribe to our podcast. If you downloaded this from the website, we certainly appreciate it. Thank you. But now we want you to go to your iPod or to your iTunes or to...
I was just getting you to laugh.
To your juice aggregator. Juice. It's an aggregator called Juice, and it collects the podcast.
There's an alligator named Juice?
It's aggregator. All right. So anyway, please subscribe to the podcast. Please vote for our podcast at Podcast Alley. I know there's other shows that tell you to vote for them, but just tune that out. I want you to listen to me. You will vote for Roni's Own Radio at PodcastAlley.com. I say again, you will vote for Roni's Own Radio at PodcastAlley.com. Thank you.
What, do you think you're a Jedi now?
Well, I don't know. I'm trying anything to get above. I'm like 7,403rd. I want to get above there. I want to get in the top 10. I want to pop up on the screen.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
You know.
But 7,403 is not that bad compared to how many are there. Unless there's 7,404.
Listen, there's other podcasts out there that's like two people. They just sit around and just talk about nothing. They sit around and talk about nothing.
Okay.
We talk about important things like Women's Lib.
Yes.
And Dog the Bounty Hunter. Things that are important.
And Juice the Alligator.
And fine. But anyway, please subscribe to the podcast, drop by the website, please vote for us at Podcast Alley. And finally, I know last time we said it didn't matter, but please email us at jeff.roney@gmail.com. Please do it right now. just while you're listening to me, just open up your browser and open up the go to Gmail or wherever your email is and send me an email at jeff.roney@gmail.com, because I'll be sad if you don't. Okay. So thank you so very much.
I really will, though, actually.
Honest to God.
True. I know I'm making him laugh right now because I'm being very silly, but truly, please just email him.
Thank you.
Please.
It'll make me feel better.
Yeah. We want to know if what we're doing is any good for anybody.
Right.
We already know Robbie thinks that.
Yeah, please, Robbie. This time you can take a break, Robbie.
No, he can still email. That's okay. Nice. But we need to have other people who tell us that it's good. Otherwise,
anyone besides David Boshian and Robbie Chastain, you I'm talking to.
Right.
Okay. So anyway.
Okay.
Thanks again for listening. And this is Jeff Roney and
Colleen Roney
signing off.
Yep. You betcha.
See you later.
Roney Zone Radio.